A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if only you would put up with a little foolishness from me. Please put up with me, for I am jealous of you with the jealousy of God, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that, as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts may be corrupted from a sincere and pure commitment to Christ. For if someone comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it well enough. For I think that I am not in any way inferior to these super apostles. Even if I am untrained in speaking, I am not so in knowledge. And in every way we have made this plain to you in all things. Did I make a mistake when I humbled myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you without charge. I plundered other churches by accepting from them in order to minister to you. And when I was with you and in need, I did not burden anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my needs. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way. By the truth of Christ in me, this boast of mine shall not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. The word of the Lord. Your works, O Lord, are justice and truth. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company and assembly of the just. Great are the works of the Lord, exquisite in all their delights.
Your works, O Lord, are justice and truth.
Majesty and glory are his work, and his justice endures forever. He has won renown for his wondrous deeds. Gracious and merciful is the Lord. The works of his hands are faithful and just. Sure are all his precepts, reliable forever and ever, wrought in truth and equity.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions." the gospel of the Lord. A poorly deployed handkerchief of the words I was to sing there. All right. You know, the Lord begins this gospel by saying, you know, don't babble on and say lots and lots of, you know, words. And I think maybe more like incantations or things like that. You know, the idea is that they think they'll be heard simply because of they're saying precise things or they're saying, you know, repeated things and so on. You know, again, don't be like them. Now, that doesn't mean don't pray and don't pray at length, but it means just don't think that alone, I check these boxes and God needs to answer my prayer. It's not open sesame or some magic formula. We come before him in humility. We pray, and so he says, here's how you are to pray. And but here, too, we have to be a little careful. He's not just saying, just say these exact words. If the words are very precious, but consider that Luke's version is slightly different. What I think the Lord is giving us here is not a very precious prayer that we should pray precisely, but also he's really giving us a structure for our prayer life. Whether when we go to pray personally and privately, or even more broadly, just what does my life of prayer, my spiritual life, look like? What are some of its components? And so there's, you know, traditionally it's broken up in different ways. I'll just give you my own, which is that we relate, we receive, request, and repent. And so the let's just kind of look through these. You know, first of all, that we relate. When you pray, say, Father, Father. We're not praying to some deity or impersonal force. We're praying to our Father who loves us. Yesterday, Paul gives us that very precious word, and Jesus also used it, Abba, which, as most of you know, is not baby talk. It's not da-da or something like that. But it's the family word, right? It suggests intimacy, not formality. That is to say that It's a way, for example, when my father was alive, you know, he died many years ago, but I wouldn't call him and say, good morning, Father. How are you, Father? I would say, Dad. And he would sign his letters, El Dado, you know, and stuff. So it's a sign of affection, but it's also a family term. And it is daring, like we say at the beginning of the Our Father, to go to God and say, Abba, Dad. But you see, St. Paul says, you haven't received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but a spirit of adoption that cries out, Abba, the Holy Spirit within us, you see. And so again, there's nothing more precious to Jesus than you will have a love for his Father. I don't know if you noticed, but he was crazy about his Father. He talked about him all the time. He loved his Father. He gave us so many reminders of the Father's love for us. And so all of these are ways of saying that we go before God and we say, Father. And some people get worried, well, will Jesus get jealous or the Holy Spirit? Don't worry about that. There is one God who is a mystery of three persons in the one God. To have seen me, to have seen the Father, says Jesus. So again, there's none of that. But we go, yes, we speak to the Father, to the saints, but we, above all, we go and we just say, Abba, Father. When we begin praying, we go before our Father who loves us so much that he would even send his own Son. He loves us. He gives us all things that we need to be sustained. And so the first thing is to just go and say, Father, I love you. I need you. I praise you. I thank you. I glorify you. And the next thing is to not only to, if you will, relate, but to then rejoice. Hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. You're glorious. You're wonderful beyond all compare. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. We don't often praise God enough. You know, I sometimes think, oh, Lord, you know, I said, okay, we should bring our trials and our sorrows. But at the end of the day, we were made to praise him. The letter to the Ephesians says, we were made for the praise of God's glory. We were made for his praise. And so there's this, we're right in the groove and we're just praising God. Take some of the Psalms and say the 90s of the Psalter, full of praise. Or take the glory of the Mass, or just in your own words say, I thank you, Lord, I praise you. You know, in the glory, we praise you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. And, you know, so we go on and we should praise him, praise his works and thank him and just go before him with gratitude and say, thank you for all you've done. You've been good to me, Lord. And it's very refreshing because, again, when we're doing what we were made to do, we're in the groove and we feel that peace and that harmony that comes from doing what we were most made to do. And so again, we see that first of all, we relate, Father. And secondly, we ought to have in our prayer life rejoicing and praising and gratitude. You know, by the way, just as a reminder, or, you know, I would say that there is probably no greater recipe for good mental health, spiritual health, and emotional health than just a simple thing called gratitude. God's been so good to us. You know, every day 10 trillion things go right, and a few things might go wrong. And you know what we're going to do? Oh, you know, right? I think we might give God a migraine headache, you know? No, just go before him and realize you have been so good to me. It's astonishing your glory and what you've done. And so again, we owe God this debt of gratitude. And again, it's, God will never be outdone in generosity. He does not have a big ego. We need to thank him. We need to praise him in justice, but also just to take care of our own soul, because we can get negative in a minute. We can have all kinds of good news and one little thing, and it's all we think about. There's something wrong with that, see? So gratitude is a way of disciplining our mind that God's been good to me. And you know, the little secret in Scripture is that even the bad things are sometimes gifts in a strange package. Romans 8, right? All things work together for good for those who love and trust the Lord, right? All things, not just the good things, even the difficult and painful things, God is permitting only for some greater glory. So whatever you do, praise him, see? So relate, Father, and then rejoice. Holy is your name, praise him. And then we go on to receive. Your kingdom come, or thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how is God's kingdom going to be done? We have to listen to his will. And so this is the time where we listen. We may read scripture. We might read some teaching of the catechism or the church. We might study the lives of the saints, but we listen to God. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I'm listening, Lord. And we're terrible at that. Just terrible, you know. And I would simply say that, you know, when we go to pray, sometimes we're a little too wordy. At its heart, prayer is paying attention to God, listening to him. So what are you saying in your word? What are you saying in my life and the events of my day? What are you saying in the teachings of the church and so on? I'm listening, Lord, and humbly listening, so that his word can be done as it is perfectly on heaven, may it be done more and more perfectly in my heart and the hearts of people I know and love. So we receive, we listen carefully, and we talk a little bit less. You know, I love it the way St. Augustine puts it, that more things are accomplished in prayer by sighs and tears than by many words. Well, Father, what should I say when I go to pray? Well, okay, the Our Father, but God understands, no translation is needed. The Spirit groaning within us, sighs and tears. Yes, and praise and gratitude, you know, just, thank you. That sigh of wonder and awe at God's goodness, and that sigh of letting go of some of the sorrows of this world, you see. So we don't have to have lots of fancy words, as the Lord said earlier in the gospel. Just a heart that's open to listen. And if we speak, it's just, thank you, Lord. Now, there is a time to maybe be more specific, and that's why we come to the, you know, we're going to come to that, the next section in prayer, or in the gospel, which is to request. Intercessory prayer. It says, give us this day our daily bread. And it goes on to say, forgive us our trespasses. We'll get to that in a moment. But now, in this case, to request is, you know, what we mean by intercessory prayer. we make known to God our needs in prayer. And as I say, sighs and tears are really all that God needs. But for our own sake and for the sake of others, we sometimes do. We get more specific. Bread is kind of a symbol of all of our needs. And so we go before and say, oh, Lord, the list, Lord, the list. How many times do we, if 100 people ask you to pray for them and you say you'll pray for people, you know, our minds are very weak. But sometimes I have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, the list. Oh, you know, and sometimes another way to do this, don't listen to too much of it. But when you hear the news, make that a prayer of intercession. There was a religious sister who used to visit our house when I was a kid. She was a friend of my mother. And she'd watch the news and all through it, oh, glory be to God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Every story, I'm like, this woman's crazy. But she was actually right. You know, we're cynical. We shake our finger. Oh, some people's children. We get all cynical. And sometimes say, oh, Lord, have mercy. See? Some people are lost, Lord. Some are discouraged. Some are hurt. Lord, there's war in the world. There's distrust. There's anger. There's wrath. Lord, have mercy. I love the chaplet of divine mercy. I hope you do, too. It's one you can really say quickly on the move if you have to. You say it a little slower, more piously. But you can say it quickly if you need to. But how many times can we just say, oh, Lord, have mercy on this whole world, see? And so, again, there's a very interesting thing about this, give us this day our daily bread. It's kind of embarrassing. Right here in the middle of the Our Father is a prayer, a word that nobody really knows what it means exactly. I think I do. Piously, I think I do. But it's give us this day our super substantial bread. Super, you know, epiousion is the Greek word, and it's kind of embarrassing. Even the Greek fathers couldn't say exactly what it meant. It's kind of a hapax legomenon, we say, a word that occurs only once or only in a certain context in Scripture and nowhere else. And so, but I think we know what our super substantial bread is. Lord, give us the Eucharist. You know, we need you. We need that real bread that sustains us. But also, let bread remind us of all the other things that are needed. But again, there's this, when we had this COVID shutdowns and stuff, all of a sudden those words had more impact, didn't they? I was secretly giving communion out the back door to a lot of people, all right? I said, Father, I've got to have the Eucharist. Said, come on over. You know, oh, but Father, aren't you breaking the law? No, come over. I'll give you Jesus. But anyway, again, give us this day. So we read, Father, I love you. I praise you. We rejoice. We receive. We listen. And then we request, Lord, help. And then finally, we repent. We repent. That is to say, give us this. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We go before God, in other words, in great humility, and we say, Lord, help. And don't just help me, but deliver all of us from evil, literally the evil one. You know that, Lord, we're beset by troubles and sorrows, and the devils and demons are at work, and we connive in it, and we let our flesh interact too much. We listen too much. Just go before him in humility and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'll just finish on this idea of repentance by saying simply that Sister Faustina has a remarkable notation in her diary where the Lord said to her one day, Faustina, if you were ever to know the true horror of what you are, you would die of fright. But I have great mercy and I have kept some of this from you. Now, he's saying that to a cloistered religious sister. I mean, how much for us who are out in the world and having to, I mean, we have to recognize our true state and fall before God like a blind beggar and say, Lord, I need to see. Lord, I need forgiveness. I need your mercy. Stop all this, you know, and I'm not saying anyone here, but just if anyone does this, stop all this. Well, at least I'm not like so-and-so. That's not the standard. Jesus is the standard. You must be perfect as a heavenly Father. That's not a threat. It's a promise. But I don't know about you, but I ain't anywhere close. I have to fall on my knees and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You know, the paradox is the closer we get to sanctity, the more we realize how sinful we are. God is very holy, very glorious. Okay, I'll wrap up by just reminding us. This isn't just words to say. It is that, and say them. But it's more than that. It's a structure for your whole prayer life, that you're in love with the Heavenly Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit, that you're rejoicing, that you're requesting and receiving and repenting. All of these are ways that we can frame up our spiritual life. And is there any of these things that maybe I need to improve on? Maybe intercessory prayer, whatever it might be. But just see it as a guidance from the Lord on what it means to have a spiritual life and what it means to pray. Amen.